We've come to an end of the teachings of renunciation, and we spent a little while introducing renunciation. I hope everybody has a better understanding or a good understanding. Although understanding is not really sufficient, what is important is that one puts it into practice. By putting it into practice, it can really make a significant change, a significant difference in one's life. And renunciation is important in all the practices of Buddhism, in Hinayana, Mahayana, Vajrayana, great perfection. It's like the battery. It gives us that extra charge. It gives us the energy to keep on practicing. Many of the great masters, what keeps them going is renunciation. Remembering the preciousness of human life and impermanence, that they no longer wish to suffer in samsara, and the infallibility of cause and effect. One can really see how strong one's renunciation is in how diligently one practices. And instances where things like renunciation have spurred practice in great masters is maybe an example of Milarepa. Milarepa really feared where he was going in his next life due to the fact that he'd killed maybe 30 plus people. And as a result of this, he really, really diligently practiced and then eventually became really one of the great saints in Tibetan Buddhism. Renunciation is very much like preparing a field for planting the crops we want to plant. Before we plant our crops, what do? We clear away all the weeds. We clear away all the plants we don't want. We prepare the soil. And then once we've done this, whatever we plant afterwards has got a much better chance of growing successfully, and the fact that we can grow what we want to do. Similarly, renunciation helps prepare our mind for the more advanced teachings, for the practices of bodhicitta, the teachings of bodhicitta, and the more profound teachings. A really profound realization of renunciation is wisdom emptiness. When we realize that all phenomena are illusory, are dreamlike, then we won't be attached to all of these external phenomena and all of these fantasies. And then they won't have any influence over us. When they have no influence over us, then we won't give rise to any afflictions. As you often hear people saying, let go. Letting go is liberation. There's a story of an old and young monk that are walking together, and they get to the river. And at a river, there's a lady that is wanting to cross the river. However, she's a little bit nervous. And so the old man picks her up, carries her across to the other side of the river, puts her down, and then the two of them carry on walking. After they've been walking for a while, the young monk says to the old monk, I can't believe that you picked up a lady and took her across the river. You know you shouldn't be doing this. And the old monk said, when I put her down at the river, once we'd crossed, I'd already left her behind. It seems like you are still carrying her. Renunciation doesn't mean avoiding all external phenomena. What renunciation is really about is renouncing all our ignorance, all our afflictive emotions, all our discriminatory thoughts. It's renouncing all of our negative friends, especially those negative friends' afflictive emotions, those negative friends that have hurt us from lifetime to lifetime. Renunciation is giving up the wrong thinking and adopting the truth. It's also about not wanting to remain in the suffering of samsara and indulging in all of these petty fabrications that cause so much suffering for ourselves and others. Renunciation is also not cutting ourselves off from the world, not shutting out or shutting ourselves off from life. It's actually saying yes to life, saying yes to the truth and adopting the truth and opening oneself up to the teachings. There's a story of a practitioner that goes to a Zen master and asks for some teachings on meditation. And the Zen master says, well, should we have a cup of tea? And the practitioner agrees, that would be very nice. And they sit down, and the Zen master starts pouring tea into the cup. And he pours it until the cup is full. But he keeps on pouring, and the tea flows over into the saucer, and then eventually onto the floor. And eventually, the practitioner can't bear this anymore and says, stop, stop, look, the tea is flowing down onto the floor. The cup is full. You can't put any more tea into it. And the Zen master says, yes. Isn't that very much like our practice? When our mind is full, we can't fit anything else into it. To be able to really absorb these precious teachings, for instance, the teachings of bodhicitta that are still to come, it's very important that we first empty our mind of all our afflictive emotions and our discriminatory thoughts and all of these preconceived ideas of how things should be, instead of listening to how the teachings really are. As His Holiness Gelwe Nyugu Rinpoche often mentions, when you listen to the teachings, abide in Rigpa, abide in the true nature of mind. First, let go of all of those attachments, all of those afflictions, all of those preconceptions about the teaching when you listen to the Dharma. With the improvement of your renunciation, your belief in your root lama and the three jewels will increase. Your belief in cause and effect and your actions of body, speech and mind will transform. You'll enact or engage in or generate far more positive karma, which will enable your life, this life and future lives, be far more pleasant and far more positive, and be of far greater benefit to sentient beings. And you'll generate more and more possibilities, more and more merit for being able to attain enlightenment. Also, whatever arises, you'll have less and less anxiety for what's happening, less and less attachment, and you become more and more relaxed, more and more able to face all kinds of different situations without too much worry or stress or giving rise to afflictive emotions. And then gradually, as your practice improves and you may be able to realize the true nature of mind, then you'll start to realize that everything is just the great play of the moment-by-moment manifestations of Rigpa, of one's own true nature of mind. Renunciation is also living, maintaining the right mindfulness and awareness. In the beginning, we spoke quite a lot about meditation, maintaining awareness, being open to the present, remaining in the present. This also, through the practice of awareness, it also means not getting involved in all of these arising thoughts, all of these discursive thoughts, these discriminatory thoughts, all of these afflictions. As they arise, as your awareness improves quicker and much more efficiently, you'll be able to return back to your breath, back to your object of meditation. As those afflictions arise, or those discursive thoughts, those discriminatory thoughts, you'll be able to liberate them. And then they're going to have very, very little influence over us. And having very, very little influence over us, we won't engage in generating actions of body, speech, and mind that may generate negative karma. As a result of renunciation, we definitely will harm other sentient beings less and less. Will give rise to great compassion towards others. And this compassion also includes ourselves. Remember, we are practicing for the benefit of all sentient beings. We also are sentient beings, so it includes compassion towards ourselves. Through this renunciation, we'll establish a good foundation for being able to practice bodhicitta, which has been described as the backbone, the essential part of the practices of Mahayana Buddhism, the practice of the six paramitas and the four boundless qualities.